we're doing the Ein Yaakov, and we're up to what would be the Samach Gimel in the classical editions, page Lamed Beis in the Talmud, Brachos. And the Gemara had been discussing Moshe's conversation with God after the Jews sinned with the eagle, with the golden calf. The conversation is quoted in the Torah, and the Torah introduces it with God telling Moshe, go down. And the Talmud explained that God was telling Moshe, you can't stay on such a high level when the rest of the Jewish people have sinned. You got to go down from our intimate conversation up here at Sinai. And then the conversation continues. God says, let go of me. And Moshe thinks for a second, wait a second, I'm not holding on to God. Must mean God is giving me an indication that I could hold on. So Moshe says, gee, God, I'm not letting go. God, you're telling me to let go, and I guess that's to indicate that I really can continue with my claim. So Moshe starts making a pitch on behalf of the Jewish people, and the pitch begins with Vayichal Moshe, as we read last Sunday. We read it on the fast days. Moshe pleaded before God, and the word Vayichal is an unusual word. It doesn't say Vayitpalel Moshe, it doesn't say Vayitchanen Moshe, it says Vayichal Moshe. And so the Gemara is going to derive from this word Vayichal multiple meanings as to what was the form of prayer that Moshe pleaded before God. And the Gemara had said, why does the verse say Vayichal Moshe? Rabbi Elazar said, Melamed shitpalel Moshe ad shehuchla. This is to teach us that Moshe put all his might into the prayer. He prayed till he was sick, literally. He became ill, he got a fever. He prayed so hard, he ended up with a fever. Abai Amar, Ad Shehichlau LaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Moshe Rabbeinu prayed till he became, so to speak, a nag before God, till he was like a pest. He prayed and begged and begged and begged. Rava Amar, Rava says, Ad Shehtirlo Nidro, that the term Vayichal is an indication of annulment. We know that in the Torah it says, Ktiv Hacha Vayichal Moshe. Moshe's prayer is described as Vayichal, with the root chal. V'ktiv hatam, and later on in the Torah says, when a person takes a vow, lo yachel devaro, he shouldn't annul his own words. V'amar mar, and we were taught, hu eino mochel, a person cannot annul his own vow, aval acherim mochalim lo, but others may annul his vow. So Chazal say, Moshe, so to speak, annulled God's vow. Moshe said, you taught us in the Torah that a rabbi has a way in which he can annul a vow. Well, I'm a rabbi, so I'll annul your vow. Accept the Jewish people. Don't banish them. The Shmuel Amar, Shmuel said, Ad shemasar atzmo lemita aleihem. It reached the point where Moshe was ready to give up his life on behalf of the Jewish people. Moshe pleads and begs to the point where the Torah says, Ve'imayin, and if you don't accept my prayer, God, Mecheinina, erase me from your books. Erase me. I have no point in living. If you're going to wipe out the Jews, I have no point in living. In doing this, Moshe taught us what every leader of Israel is supposed to do. Put their own lives on the line for the sake of the people. Some leaders took this the wrong way. The prophet Yonah ben Amittai, the prophet Jonah, emulating Moshe's, emulating this pasuk, said, gee, God's telling me to go to the Assyrian Empire, Nineveh, which is the capital of the Assyrian Empire. God's telling me, go warn them they must repent. What happens if they repent? Then they will come and make a Holocaust. They'll destroy millions of people. They're the looming threat. The Assyrian Empire, truthfully, had already conquered parts of Israel, and it was very evident that it was only a matter of time before they would come and destroy the rest of Israel. And they did. As a matter of fact, they reached the gates of Jerusalem. If not for God's miraculous intervention, they would have destroyed all of Israel. God intervened on behalf of the temple, so they only exiled the northern 10 tribes. You figure they exiled a few million Jews that disappeared. And Jonah is told by God, go warn them, they must repent or I will destroy them. Jonah says, gee, I have a commandment to go and warn them. What did Moshe do? Moshe said, if I'm going to do something that harms Jewish people, no way. God offered Moshe, we saw last week, God offered him, I'll destroy them and I'll make you into the Jewish people. Moshe says, no, don't destroy the Jewish people. Destroy me, but don't destroy them. So Yonah says, I'll go out to sea. And I know that God could kill me out at sea. So I'll die. But I won't hurt the Jewish people. Yonah is emulating Moshe Rabbeinu. This past Friday, we concluded the book of Hosea. The prophet Hosea is taken to task by God because he did not go in Moshe's footsteps. God came to Hosea and said, the Jews are sinning. They're going with idol worship. They're leading immoral lives. They're stealing. They're murdering. They're having illicit relationships. Hosea says, God, you know you have a point. God, choose another nation. Leave them. Leave them. Look at how immoral they've become. God says to Hosea, what? What? You say leave them? That's not your job. Hosea, your job is to speak on their behalf. You should have learned from Moshe. Look at Moshe. I said to him, the Jews sinned with the golden calf. I'm going to banish them. And what did Moshe say? No, don't, you can't. That's your job, Hosea. They've been unfaithful. They're going to be punished. But your job as a leader is to put your life on the line and not let them be destroyed. You can't say, okay, God, go choose another chosen nation. So Moshe over here, Shmuel teaches us, Moshe went to the point that he was willing to give up his own life. He said, God, forgive them, ve'im ayin, and if you don't, mecheinina, then please erase me from your books. Amar Rava Amar Yitzchak, what does it mean, vayichal? The word vayichal indicates chalot, to place. Ad shehuchal alehem midat rachamim, till the trait of mercy from God was placed on the Jewish people. God was taking them to justice. God said, look at how they sinned. 40 days ago I told them, thou shalt not have another God upon me, right? I said, I'm your God. I'm me and only me. And in 40 days, they're serving a golden calf. God was taking them to justice. And the trait of justice demanded that they really be wiped out. Moshe stood in prayer till he reached a point where God was looking at them from an aspect of mercy, of compassion. Rabbanan Amri, and the rabbi said, Moshe Rabbeinu turned to God, and his form of prayer is described as Vayechal because his claim revolved around the word Chulin. Moshe said to God, Chulin hu lecha la'asot kadavar hazeh. God, it is beneath you to do something like this. It is mundane to behave this way. God, you're omnipotent, you're all merciful. For you to take them to task and destroy them over a sin. Vayechal Moshe. Moshe's claim was, God, it is mundane, it is beneath you to punish them like this. Tanya, we have a braisa, Rabbi Ezra Gadol Omer, melamed sheitpalel Moshe ad sheachazatu achilu. This teaches us that Moshe prayed till he was taken by this disease called achilu. He put his strength into it, and that's why it's called Vayechal. May achilu, so the Talmud says, what is this disease called achilu? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Esh Shel Atzamot. A fire in the bones. The Gemara says, Ma Yesh Shel Atzamot. And what is that? Answers the Gemara, Eshata de Galme. Tells us the Aramaic word of fire in the bones. So obviously that they knew what that was, some kind of fever. Moshe continues his prayer and he says to God, Zichor, please remember your promise, l'Avraham, l'Yitzchak, u'l'Yisrael avadecha, to the patriarchs, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yisrael, your servants, asher nishbata lahem bach, that you made a promise to them and you swore in yourself. My bach, what does it mean you swore in yourself? Moshe Rabbeinu says to God, you swore in yourself. Amar Rabbi Elazar explained, Amar lefanav, he said before him, Ribono shel olam, ilmalei b'shamayim v'aretz nishbata lahem. If you would have taken a vow, and whenever we take a vow, we place our hands on something. We indicate, just as this thing is holy, or this thing is everlasting, so too my words are going to be everlasting. If you would have placed your hands, so to speak, on the heavens or the earth, and you would have taken a vow to the forefathers that their children would be the chosen nation and enter the land of Israel, Hayiti omer, then I could have said, Mashamayim v'aretz bitelim, just as the heavens and earth are finite, they're not going to be around forever. Av shvuatcha betela, so too your vow is finite. So you promise them that their children will be the chosen nation. Maybe that's a finite promise. Maybe there's an end point. Maybe at some point it's over. They're no longer the chosen nation. But you didn't take a vow and place your hands on the heavens or the earth. When you took a vow, you said, I swear by my holy name. Just as your holy name is eternal, it's never going to change. So too your vow, it's only fitting that it remain for eternity. So that's Moshe's claim. It says you promised. You promised the forefathers that you'd bring their children into the land of Israel. They would be the chosen nation. Bechol ha'aretz hazot asher amarti, Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says, Moshe's turning to God. He says, you promised their children would be the chosen nation and all of the land that I said I would give them. Now technically Moshe should have said, he's speaking to God, he should have said, and all the land that you said you would give their children. Instead, Moshe says, and all the land that I said. So, simply understood, we would say he's quoting God. He's quoting, you said, and all the land that you that I said, quoting God, in quotes. But the Talmud learns it differently. The Talmud says, Asher amarta mibayilei, should have said, all the land that you said. Amar Rabbi Elazar, so Rabbi Elazar explained, Ad kan divrei Talmid. Till here, Moshe was making the claims. He says, you promised them. And from this word onward, Mikan ve'elach divrei Arav, from this word onward, God is conceding to his claim. God is saying, you're right. And all the land that I promised, what's going to be with that promise? All the land I promised, because God is talking already. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani amar, Elu ve'elu divrei Talmid. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani said, both of them are Moshe speaking, ve'achi kamar, Dvarim she'amarta li, lechamo lehem li'Israel bishmi, alachti ve'amarti lehem li'Israel bishimcha, עכשיו מה אומר להם? Moshe was saying to God, וכל הארץ אשר אמרתי, he didn't say אמרתה that you said. Moshe was saying to God, you know, you told me to speak in your name, to make a promise. The Jews were in Egypt, and they were living. They were living harsh lives. It was difficult, but they were living. You sent me to the Jews and said, tell them I sent you, it's time to leave, I will bring you to the land of Israel. So Moshe Rabbeinu isn't saying all the land that you promised the forefathers. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying all the land that I promised in your name. That's why he's saying all the land that I said. I'm the one who said you're going to give it to them. And in truth, there's more depth to this. Moshe Rabbeinu is called Adon Kol HaNeviim, master of all the prophets. How is he the master of all prophets? So the Rambam explains, Maimonides explains in the Guide to the Perplexed, in Moreh Nevuchim, the Rambam says, until Moshe Rabbeinu, every prophet had personal prophecies. God speaks to Adam, about Adam and Eve, about Adam and the forbidden fruit, it's about Adam. God speaks to Noah, it's about Noah. God speaks to Avram, it's about Avram. God speaks to Yitzchak, it's about Yitzchak. God speaks to Yaakov, it's about Yaakov. Every prophecy, God is telling the person what he wants the person to know. Now, we're holding the year. What year? Huh? No, the year God appears to Moshe. What year was Yetzias Mitzrayim? 2448, right? What year does God appear to Avram and tell him they're going to leave? Avram is born 1948. Avram has the vision 2048 that for 400 years the Jews will be in servitude. And in the year 2448 we leave Egypt, right? So 2448 we leave. God appears to Moshe 2447. 2447, God tells Moshe, go tell the Jews, I sent you. And I told you to tell them that the time has come, I've heard their crying, they're going to leave Egypt. This week's parasha, Parshas Shmos. Moshe says to God, the people are going to look at me and say, since when do we have such a concept that God speaks to one person telling him to talk to others? We know that God speaks to mankind. He tells every person what he wants of them. Where do you come off telling us that God sent you to tell us what God wants? That's Moshe's claim. He says, the Jews won't believe me. Why does Moshe say the Jews won't believe me? Because Moshe says, I'm coming with a new concept of prophecy. Until now, every prophet got his own prophecy. You want me to tell them that you sent me to tell them what you have to say? Why should they believe that? God says, you'll do signs, you'll tell them, and tell them I heard their cry, and I'm taking them all the way to the land of Israel. I'm going to take care of the Egyptians, take them out of Egypt, bring them to the land of Israel. So Moshe comes, he does the signs, and the nation believes. God told Moshe they would believe. God told Moshe the famous line, Heim ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. They are believers, the sons of believers. That's where the song comes from. Anachnu ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. Right? From that line, God told Moshe, they're believers, the sons of believers. Now they're in the desert, the Jews have sinned. God says they deserve to be wiped out. Moshe says, wait a second. But I said in your name, you remember when all of prophecy began, I came and made a promise in your name that they're going to receive the land of Israel. What's going to be with the promise? And that's why, says the Talmud, and that's why, that's the second answer, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani explains, why does Moshe say, in all the land that I promised? Why doesn't he say, all the land that you promised God? Because Moshe isn't talking about God's promise. He's saying, but I was your representative and I promised. Now you're going to destroy them and my promise won't come true? So that was Moshe's claim. One of the things we've seen throughout the tractate is that there was ingenuity in the prayer. And it seems that we're supposed to learn from that. We're also supposed to find new ways to approach God in our prayer. Moshe said, you know what people are going to say? Mibilti yecholet Hashem. Because there's no capacity by God to save them, that's why He chose to destroy them in the desert. Now, the wording should have been, Mibilti yechol Hashem, because God cannot. To speak about God as yecholet, so yecholet could be in the feminine, yecholet could mean the capacity to do itself. Because the capacity to do doesn't exist by God. It shouldn't have said that. It should have said, because God can't do. People are going to say, because God couldn't do it, that's why He had to kill them. But it doesn't say that. It says, because God didn't have the capacity to do. Yecholet. Didn't say, Mibilti yechol Hashem. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Why did he use the feminine term? The Medrash says, you'll notice that God appears in all kinds of forms. Sometimes as a lion, sometimes as a burning bush, sometimes as a brave warrior, sometimes as a brave warrior riding on a horse, right? When the Jews leave Egypt. So all the Egyptians are standing by the Yamsuf, and they're not budging. They're all standing on their horses. The Jews enter the Yamsuf, and the Egyptians stand and look on. So the Medrash says, God appeared on the Yamsuf like a brave warrior riding on a beautiful mare, female horse. Lesusati berichvei faro dimiti chayati. And the other horses, seeing that mare, started giving chase. They saw a female horse, they started running after it. The Egyptians weren't about to enter the Yam Suf. They see the waters towering on the right, towering on the left. They've seen all the miracles all night long. Now they're standing there scared. What should they do? So God had this female mare appear, and the horses started chasing after it, and then they ran into the Yamsuf, and they ended up drowning. So God appears in all kinds of forms. You know, okay, we can't go into this enough, but the Medrash says, we know God sent angels who appeared like Arabs, Avraham Avinu. The Medrash says, God never appears as a woman. So here the Gemara says, why is it that we have feminine term? We have a feminine term with regard to God. It's as though mibilti yecholet Hashem. There's a question on that medrash, because there's another medrash that says that Yirmiyo, when he left Jerusalem after the destruction, he met a woman, and she had the most scary countenance he ever saw. So the prophet Jeremiah swore at her and said, I swear by God's name, are you a human or an angel? You have the beauty of a human. You have the fear of an angel. What are you? The woman said, I am neither. I am Jerusalem. I am the destroyed city of Jerusalem. I've come to weep over my children. There's a whole medrash about Yirmiyahu's conversation with this woman who has fear piercing from her eyes. So over there you could say maybe it wasn't God. It was a prophetic vision of this woman representing Jerusalem. So at any rate, the medrash over here, the Gemara asks, why is it that Hashem is referred to in the feminine? Mibilti yicholet Hashem. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Amar Moshe lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe said before God, Ribono shel olam, Master of the world, Achshav yomeru avdei kochavim, Tashash kocho kankeva. Now the nations, the pagans, are going to say, God became weak like a female. Ve'ino yechol la'atzilan. He just couldn't hack it. God just couldn't save them. Contending with one nation, the Egyptians, their God could do it. Coming into the land of Israel with all the different nations, God couldn't do it. So you can't destroy them. People are going to say the reason they died in the desert was because to take him out of Egypt, God could do, but to bring him into the land of Israel was beyond his capacity. Now he became weak like a female. Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said to Moshe, Ra'u kvar nisim v'gvurot shasiti lehem al hayam. But they saw the miracles I made by the sea. What do you mean? Amar lefanav, so Moshe said to God, Ribono shel olam, Master of the world, Achshav yomru, now what the nations will say is, Lifnei melech echad yechol amod, God could stand up to one king, Pharaoh. Lifnei shloshim ve'echad melechim, but before the 31 kings in Israel, Eino yechol amod, God couldn't stand up to them. That's what people will say. If you wipe out the Jews now, you're going to desecrate your own name, God. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sir Rabbi Yochanan taught, who was Rabbi Yochanan? The disciple of Rabbi Yanai, the one who compiled the Jerusalem Talmud, chief rabbi in Israel. Shabbos, we learned the story about Rabbi Yochanan's two students, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Avo. So, Rabbi Yochanan taught, Minayin shechazar HaKadosh Baruch Hu ve'oda lo leMoshe. Where do we know that God, so to speak, changed his mind? He admitted that Moshe was right. Shenemar, as the verse says, Vayomer Hashem, God declared, Salachti, I have forgiven them. But God adds a word. God says, Kidvarecha, as you claim. God doesn't just say, I've forgiven them. God, so to speak, concedes to Moshe. Moshe said, God says, okay, like you said. And this teaches us a very important rule when it comes to prayer. Very often people think, why should I pray? God knows better than me what I need. God knows what I'm suffering. God knows everything. What am I telling him that he doesn't know? The Talmud purposely teaches us these conversations between Moshe and God to teach us that that's the way God created the world. We're not going to tell him anything he doesn't know. And yet God wants us to express it. We become different people when we express it. Our connection to Hashem is different. Why did God make the Imos barren? The matriarchs didn't have children. So Avram is married to Sarai for decades. They have no kids. Sarai tells him, take in the maid Hagar. He's married to Hagar, and then one night she's pregnant. Hagar looks at Sarai and says, huh, something's wrong with you. You're not as righteous as I thought you were. If you were as righteous, how come you haven't had kids all these years? And I'm pregnant in a minute. So she starts looking down at Sarai. Chazal tell us, Hagar was wrong. Hagar was a very pious woman. But in this, Hagar erred. Specifically because Sarai was such a righteous woman, God withheld children from her. Because every day that Sarai didn't have children, she would pray. And pray more fervently and develop herself spiritually in ways that she wouldn't have developed had she had children. So if Sarai would sit back and say, God knows, God, it's all in your hands. I can't have kids if you don't give them to me. You know, the key for having kids is in God's hands. God doesn't give it to any angel. God holds on to it. Maftach shel akarot, the key for barren women. Sarai could have sat back and said, it's in your hands, God, and maybe she would have never had children. But quite the contrary. God knew that if she would spend those decades in prayer, she would turn out to be a different person. The great Sarai was only the great Sarai because she had to endure all those years. But it wasn't only about enduring. It was about praying. It was about connecting to Hashem, expressing her desires, expressing her request, and developing herself as a person. When we are faced with challenges, the point of the challenge is to grow. The word nisayon, we know in Hebrew, the famous explanation of Rav Kook Zatzal, nisayon comes from the word nisa, to uplift. Well then, we have to learn from Moshe. When we stand in prayer, we have to express ourselves in unique ways. Of course, we have to be respectful, but we have to express it, and find new ways in each prayer. As we see, Moshe Rabbeinu, God answers him, well, why will the nation say that? Didn't they see my miracles? Now, we know that God knew everything Moshe was going to answer. Obviously, there's a point that God wants us to express it. The more it means to us, the more we will invest in effort in expressing it. The more we understand that God is really the solution to our problems, that God is the one that holds the key, the more we will speak to Him in prayer. People sometimes think, if I'm a real believer, I know everything's in the hands of Hashem, so whatever will be, will be. Quite the contrary. If I know that everything's in His hands, so then maybe it's going to work out well if I invest my strength in prayer. Who knew this concept the best? Who knew that Moshe runs the world better than any one of us? Probably the biggest prophet. Who's the biggest prophet? Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet Chazal tell us that when Moshe Rabbeinu was told he's not entering the land of Israel, Moshe Rabbeinu poured out over 500 prayers. Why is he praying so much? God controls everything. Yes, because he knows God controls everything, he also knows that the key to get what we want in this world is to express it, to talk to God, to beg, to plead, to pray. Rabbi Yishmael explains, why does God add this word, kidvarecha, I've forgiven them as you have requested. Why does God add that word, kidvarecha, as per your request? Atidin ha'ovdei kochavim sheyomru. In the future, the pagans will say, Ashrei talmid sherabo modelo. How praised is this student that his teacher, his master, the word rav really means master, that his master admits that he's right. That Hashem admits, Moshe, you're right. God says, okay, I'll forgive them. Ve'ulam chayani. But I swear, chayani, simply understood, is I swear by myself. I swear by me. But the words chayani literally mean, I am alive. Amar Rava, Rava quoted, Amar Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak, who taught, Melamed shamalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe. This teaches us that God said before Moshe, Moshe, hechayitani bidvarecha. Moshe, you gave me life with your words. How so? If the nations would have seen me destroy the people of Israel, then the nations would have really said, like you said, that I don't have strength to live up to my promises. I don't have strength to contend with the 31 kings of Israel. So in your words, you gave me life. That's why it says Chayani. You, so to speak, gave me life. Darash Rabbi Samlai. Whenever you hear the name Rabbi Samlai, one thing should ring in your heads. What did Rabbi Samlai teach us? A Gemara in Makos. Rabbi Samlai is the one who taught us the Gematria for Taryag. Rabbi Samlai is the one that said, it says, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Moshe taught us Torah. Torah has the numerical value, Tav and Resh are 600, Vav and Hey are 11. Torah is the numerical value of 611. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Moshe taught us 611 mitzvos, the gematria, the numerical value of Torah. The other two we heard directly from God, right? Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yi Elecha, the first two commandments, we heard directly from God. We're left with 611 mitzvot that we heard from Moshe. So whenever we encounter Rabbi Samlai, that name should mean something to us. He's the one, the famous one who taught us there are 613 mitzvot, 611 we learned from Moshe, and two we heard directly from God. So Darash Rabbi Samlai taught the following. Lo'olam yisader adam shivchosh lakadosh baruch hu v'achar kach yitpalel. A person should always prepare the praise of God and then pray. We always, when we approach prayer, we have to know that the form of prayer is always praise, request, praise. Min na'alan, how do we know this? Mi Moshe. We learn it out from Moshe. Dichtiv, as the verse says, I begged God at that time. I begged God, let me into the land of Israel. How did I do so? It continues and says, Hashem Elokim, Hashem the Omnipotent, Ata Achilot El Arot Et Avdecha. You started showing me all your greatness, how great you are, how potent you are. And only after that, only after those words of praise, does Moshe continue and say, E'ebera na veret aretz atova. Let me please cross over and see the good land of Israel. So from Moshe we learn that you must have praise preceding request. Where is this applicable to us in our daily lives? So your wives will ask you, do I have to pray every day? And today they teach girls in seminary that a girl has to pray every day, Shachris and Mincha for sure, preferably Ma'ariv as well. And that's fine if a girl can live up to that, good for her. Bezrat Hashem, I wish you guys to have houses filled with kids running around. And it's going to be very hard. You know, you got to change this kid's diaper. You got to give this kid lunch. You got to do homework with this kid. Every minute you have another thing flying in the house. So how do you pray three times a day? So the ancient custom was that women would fulfill the biblical obligation of prayer once a day. They'd say a word of praise. They'd say a word of request. And they'd end with a word of praise. That was the ancient custom. And that's based on this Gemara. That the basic form of prayer is praise, request, and praise. Us men, we're obligated to pray the full prayer three times a day. We have to daven Shmoneh Esrei, we have to say Shema, we have a long prayer. Our wives, the women, they have to say the blessings of the morning, they have to say Birkot HaShachar, the blessings thanking Hashem for giving them the capacity to see, the capacity to walk, all the blessings, the short blessings in the morning. They should say Birchos HaTorah, they're probably going to learn some Torah, and then they should say some form of short prayer. Praise, request, praise. And if they could do more than that, good. Many girls today, you have do daven Shmon Esrei at least twice a day, if not three times a day. Good for them, those who can do it. Kol HaKavod. But the ancient custom was that women would just suffice by saying the blessings of the morning and saying this shortened prayer. Amar Rabbi Elazar taught, Gedola tefila yoter mimasim tovim. By the way, where might this be relevant to a man? Let's say a guy's in the army. And they're in the middle of... they're out in Gaza. And the Mifaket tells them, guys, you have 60 seconds to put your stuff together and go out. So the guy looks at his watch. He says, in 60 seconds, I'm not going to get in any tefillah. But I want to ask God to help me on this mission. So what am I going to do? So he should take this form. Say two, three words of praise. Two, three words requesting what he wants and conclude with praise. Anytime you want to say your own prayer, it's good. You're supposed to say your own prayer. And in a time of danger, you'll be in fulfillment of the biblical commandment, batzal lecha, when things are difficult, to pray. Then we have a biblical mitzvah to pray. How do you pray? So you could use your own words. That's fine. But you should follow this form. Praise, request, and praise. Okay. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar taught, Gedolat tefila yoter mimasim tovim. Prayer is even greater than actions of kindness, than good deeds. You have no one who was bigger in doing good deeds than Moshe Rabbeinu. You hear that? We think Moshe was the greatest prophet, the smartest man, but how many good deeds could he do if he was learning Torah all day? It tells us the Talmud, he was the greatest man when it comes to doing acts of kindness. Even so, lo nana la bitfila. He only received his request in the merit of his prayer. Shenemar, as the verse says, al tosef daber elai. God tells Moshe, do not continue to ask of me. V'samich le'ale rosh ha'piska. And then God says, being that you asked to see the land of Israel, fine, go up to the hilltop and I'll let you see the land of Israel. And we'll pick up over here next week with a continued discussion of the greatness of prayer. I want us just to review what we saw today. So we began our learning with a discussion of the word Vayechal. What does the word Vayechal mean? Multiple understandings. Either that Moshe Rabbeinu prayed till he was ill. Either he, so to speak, became a nag. Or he annulled the vow. Or else... he said, wipe me out, God, but forgive them. Reb Lezer Agadol explained, he prayed till he got the disease of Achilu, which is some fire in the bones. Then Moshe asked, remember the merits of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that you promised them in you. You didn't promise them in the heaven and the earth that are finite, but rather in yourself, which is infinite. And so your promise should be infinite and eternal. The land that I said, we said, what does it mean, I said? So one understanding is God is speaking. You're right, God said to Moshe. All the land that I said, I must give them. The other understanding is that Moshe said, I promised in your name. So fulfill the promise that I made in your name. Moshe is the one talking. And here we went off on the tangent, Maimonides and the Guide to the Perplexed, and the understanding about the uniqueness of Moshe's prophecy and why Moshe is called the master of all prophets. Then the Talmud asked, why does it say in the female sense, Mibilti yicholet Hashem? Why should the nation say you don't have the capacity to do it in the female sense? Moshe said to God, they'll say you're weak, you've become weak like a female, and they'll say you couldn't stand up to the 31 kings. God admitted Moshe was right. He said, I've forgiven them kidvarecha, like your words, and the nations will look at that and say, look how great it is the master admits to his students. Then the Gemara said that God said to Moshe, so to speak, you gave me life. My name would have been desecrated had I not gone along with your request. We then quoted Rav Samloi that a person should always introduce his prayer with praise. And then Rabbi Elazar taught us that prayer is greater than good deeds. It is only in the merit of prayer that Moshe merited to see the land of Israel. His good deeds wouldn't have cut it. We see that prayer is even bigger than good deeds. Wow.